thankful to see each one here this morning. We desire your prayers. We're going to begin in the book of Jude. We've been looking at worshiping God. And everything that we look at going forward, as we look at the different functions of the church, will be adding to worshiping God. Worship is the beginning, is the purpose of the church, is the number one priority of the church, that we're here to worship, serve, and honor God. And as we move forward from that, and everything else that we touch on, as we began today with fellowship, fellowship is a way of worshiping God. Now, a lot of people get focused on fellowship, and they say unity, unity, unity. Well, unity is important. We're going to deal with that, but I'll say this. Before we can be unified with one another, we have to be unified with Christ. And before we can even be unified with Him and all the doctrines and all the other things, we have to have fellowship with Him through Jesus Christ. We have to be saved. And so salvation is the key part. I'm not going to just preach a message on salvation this morning. I think we well know that. There'll be some other times that we go through and deal with that subject. But I want to take some scriptures and just show us the importance of having that fellowship with God, that foundation relationship that is built on salvation, and how that builds our fellowship one with another. And again, I want to begin in Jude, in verse 3. Before we begin to read, we do want to look to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, as we come to you this day, Father, we're so thankful for the many wonderful things that you've done for us. Father, you've been good to us so much better than we deserve. And Father, we pray that you would lead, guide, and direct in the service. Father, you know the need better than we do. And we pray that you would lead, guide, and direct, and bless in every way. And Father, we pray again that your will would be accomplished. And for the good that is accomplished, let us step aside and give you the praise. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. In the book of Jude, in verse 3, it says, "Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that ye should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints." Now, he talks about that faith that's once delivered unto the saints, and that's an important doctrine in and of itself. But we're going to focus back at the beginning of this verse. He said, "I want to write unto you of the common salvation." Now, that word "common" there doesn't mean it's just something simple or plain. He's talking about it's something that we have in common. It's something that we can relate to. And it's something that we have that we all know about. I turn over to Titus chapter 1. Titus chapter 1. And we'll look at verse 4. He said, "To Titus, my own son, after the common faith, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior." Now here in verse 4, he says, "My own son, after the common faith." And that common faith is, we have this in common. We have this together. You know, if I was to meet Paul, and I ask him about his salvation, we have it in Scripture. How was Paul saved? He believed upon the Lord Jesus Christ. If I was to meet Abraham, let's go back even to the Old Testament. If I was to meet Abraham, how was he saved? The Bible says he believed God and it was imputed to him for righteousness. Now that's what I did. I believed the promise of God in Jesus Christ. And God gave me salvation because I put my faith in Christ. That's common. And I'll tell you what, it's something, and I've mentioned it before. We've had Brother Giorgio come here before from the Philippines, and the thing that I have in common with him. There might be a lot of differences in culture and different things because if he's over in the Philippines, and I could talk about whether those down in Mexico, whether those in Asia, whether those in Africa that I've talked to over the years. But what you find that's common is we have put our faith in Christ and God saved us because we put our faith in Him. That is the common faith that we have. That is the building block of everything that we have as God's children and our fellowship together and our fellowship with God. As soon as we believe upon the Lord, we become His children. We become the children of God through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we cry out, Abba, Father. There's a relationship there. Well, if I cry out, Abba, Father, and somebody else is crying out, Abba, Father, and they have the same Spirit dwelling within them, the Spirit of God dwelling within them as I have, we have something in common that transcends blood, that transcends nationality, that transcends maybe traditions, maybe cultures, all kinds of things that you can look at. It transcends all that. Now, I've often made the statement, I remember years ago, I got on an airplane to fly up to Chicago, and while sitting there at the back of the airplane, the man sitting beside me, we started up a conversation, talked a little while. About 30 minutes into the flight, we both realized we were Christians. After talking about some things, listen, all of a sudden, that man wasn't a stranger to me. There were some things that we could instantly talk about, and it wasn't sports, it wasn't the weather. It was some deeper things of fellowship with God that we could really delve into and have a conversation about because we realized we were brothers in Christ. We had that in common and it built a fellowship. Even in that short amount of time, we had fellowship one with another because of that bond in Christ. That bond in Christ is what builds our fellowship. And I want to show us what it means. And there's other fellowship even within that. Turn back to the book of Galatians chapter 3. And Paul here is talking to the people at Galatians. They're beginning to be deceived into some false doctrine, into some things that are not right. And Paul is going to remind them of their salvation to bring them back to the truth. Now, if they didn't have that fellowship, he wouldn't be able to have that conversation with them. And I know I could turn to many places in the Scripture and use this example. But in Galatians chapter 3, beginning in verse 1, it says, O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you, that ye should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ hath been evidently set forth, crucified among you? This only would I learn of you. Received ye the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Are ye so foolish, having begun in the Spirit, are ye now made perfect by the flesh? Have ye suffered so many things in vain? If it be yet in vain, he therefore that ministereth to you the Spirit and worketh miracles among you, doeth he it by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Even as Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. And notice he brings them back to some things. And he's saying, who's bewitched you? And he's saying, listen, you need to come back. Did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? What's the fellowship that he's bringing them back to? The fellowship of their birth in Christ. And he's using that to say, listen, you can't go by works. You can't go by all these other things. You've got to go by faith. That's where you started. That's what continues you. But he could preach that to them because he believed that they had a common faith that he could relay that message to them to. You know, even back in the book of Romans, there's a lot of things that's spoken about in the faith. And I know you could go to Romans chapter 4 and you could look at Abraham and he says that was written for us, that we know that we have this in common. But in chapter 6, he even gets into baptism, doesn't he? And in verse 1 of chapter 6, he asks a question, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Knowing that we're saved by faith and not by works, should we continue in sin? And notice how he's building this fellowship from the basis of salvation, from that common faith in Christ for our salvation. He said, God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? And there it's you even show a building of fellowship. Not only do I have my faith in Christ, that's fellowship, but I have things that have happened because of my faith in Christ. I followed the Lord in baptism after salvation. And you see that fellowship within the church, that these things are built upon each other. They're built upon each other. He goes on down in verse 5, talking about we've been planted together in the likeness of His death. We shall also be in the likeness of His resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with Him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. For he that is dead is freed from sin. And he's using some things here about fellowship. There's a lot of fellowship we have, but the foundation of our fellowship is not that we go to the same church. It's not that we just have fellowship because, you know, we like the same preacher, or we like the same doctrines on a few things. It's because we have a relationship that is built upon the Lord Jesus Christ that enables everything else. Turn with me over to the book of 1 John chapter 5. And I'll tell you, if you go back in chapter 4, and even here in the beginning of chapter 5, you're going to see that it talks about fellowship, love for the brethren, love for one another in Christ. Well, why do we love one another? Because God first loved us. It's that fellowship that we have with God, that common salvation that we have, that forgiveness of sins that we have, that draws us together. And in verse 1 of 1 John chapter 5, he said, "Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, and everyone that loveth Him that begot loveth Him also that is begotten of Him. By this we know that we love the children of God, when we love God and keep His commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments, and His commandments are not grievous. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith." Now he's going into the faith. And this is something that we could all relate to that are saved. "Who is he that overcometh the world? He that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God." Foundation of everything. "This is he that came by water and blood, even Jesus Christ, not by water only, but by water and blood. It is the Spirit that beareth witness, because the Spirit is truth. For there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost, and these three are one." They bear record. See, I can go back to when I was saved. I can remember the Holy Spirit drawing me to Christ. Those of us that are saved, we understand what it means. You know, I sat in a church just like I had all my life. I was brought up in church. And I can remember sitting in church, and I can remember listening to hell preached upon. I can remember, the preacher saying people need to be saved, they need to turn to Christ. And I'd sit there as a child and say, yes, people need to turn to Christ. But hell didn't bother me. It didn't concern me. But there came a day where all of a sudden, hell wasn't for somebody else. I became guilty and understood that I was on the road to hell. And those of us that are saved, and listen, there might be different details surrounding that. I could say I was in church when I first came under conviction. Other people might have been at home when they came to the realization that God opened their hearts and showed them. They might have been driving down the road. You know, there's people at different ages that God dealt with them. You know, I've known people to say, you know, I was 8 years old the first time the Lord dealt with me. That's about the youngest I've ever heard that I've had a real confidence in. But somebody said, I remember when the Lord dealt with me and I was just a young child. You know, I tell people, listen, I didn't get burdened about my condition until I was about 12 years old. I've heard others say they were 16 when God first burdened them and different things. Listen, I don't know the age that God's going to deal with somebody, but everybody comes to a place and time in their life where they understand that they are a sinner and they need salvation. And whether you were 8, whether you were 16, whether you were 20, whether you were 12, whatever the age was, you can probably remember when the Lord first dealt with you. You can probably remember when you came under conviction and you understood that you were a sinner. We know the Holy Spirit did that. That it made it real within us. He talks about the Word being a witness. That Word capitalized being Jesus Christ. You know who I had to believe upon to be saved? Jesus. Jesus. And who's the one that saved me? The Bible says in the book of Isaiah that God looks at the sacrifice of Christ and He accepts it as the payment for our sin. It's God that saves us. God the Father, when He accepts that we have put our faith in Jesus Christ. And I definitely remember as soon as I trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ that there was a knowledge within me that God had accepted that faith in His Son and the promise that He had given through Jesus. There are also three that bear witness on the earth, the Spirit. As soon as we're saved, the Spirit of God comes to dwell within us. The water there, I know a lot of people like to say, well, that's baptism. No, that's not. Water, as it means several times in the Scriptures, talking about the flesh. I myself am a witness of my salvation. As the old song goes, I was there when it happened. I know that I didn't put my faith in a prayer. I didn't put my faith in church membership. I didn't put my faith in baptism or anything else. I put my faith in Jesus Christ. I'm a witness to that. And what's imputed to us for righteousness? The blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. There's witnesses. And if we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is greater. For this is the witness of God which He hath testified of His Son. He that believeth upon the Son of God hath the witness in himself. He that believeth not God hath made him a liar, because he believeth not the record that God gave of His Son. And this is the record that God hath given to us eternal life. And this life is in His Son. He that hath the Son hath life. And he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. And listen, this is that fellowship. I don't have fellowship with people who talk about works for salvation. Oh, I hope I make it. I hope I get there. Listen, I don't have fellowship with that. I don't understand what they're talking about because that doesn't line up with Scripture. It doesn't line up with God. It doesn't line up what I have with my brothers and sisters in Christ. When somebody starts saying, oh, I got this spirit and I talked in some unknown tongue, I don't have fellowship with that. That's not the fellowship I have with because it's not scriptural. It's not what God has taught for salvation. People can talk about rituals. Oh, my priest forgives me sins and I do this and I do that and I have this ritual and this prayer. We have this occasion and that occasion. Listen, I don't have fellowship with that. And I don't have fellowship with the Jews that teach the law for salvation. I don't have fellowship with those things. I have fellowship with people who say they have believed upon the Lord Jesus Christ. There is a common faith there that I have fellowship with. That is the building block of everything that we have as God's people in the fellowship of the body of Christ. But it begins with that common salvation. And he said, these things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. I tell you what, I come across some Christians and they say, well, you can't know if you're saved or lost. And I say Christians, that's the term that the world uses. They're really not a Christian because they're not following Christ. But that's what the world would say about them. I come across some churchgoers and some church people that say, well, I hope I make it and all these other things. I don't have fellowship with that. There's people who say, I know that I'm saved because I believed upon Christ. I can go back to that place in my life where I believed upon Jesus and I know that I'm saved. I know that I've trusted in Christ. I got fellowship with that. That is a common faith that builds something. This is my son after the common faith, is what Paul said of Titus. To write unto you of that common salvation, this is something we have in common. I'll tell you what, it has thrilled my heart over the years to talk to many people. And I love when people are willing to tell me about their salvation. Some don't. Some don't share that with you. But I love when people tell me about their salvation because it builds that relationship. I know I've mentioned Brother Giorgio several times before in messages, but I'll tell you what. When years ago he told me about how he had trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ, I said, this is not a Filipino. This is not somebody else. This is a brother in Christ. When we made our trip to Kenya to visit people over there, listen, when I heard their faith in Christ, Brother Abraham was the first minister I talked to over there. And I asked him about his salvation, and he was glad to tell me about trusting Jesus Christ as a Savior. And when I heard that, I didn't see him as a Kenyan. I didn't see him as a black man or anything else. I said, that's my brother in Christ. There's fellowship that bonds there. There's fellowship that breaks down barriers, and it's because of the common faith. Even in the church, they had times when they saw the same Spirit was working in the Gentiles that was working in the Jews. They saw that. They knew that there was a common faith there in Christ, and they couldn't deny it. That common faith is so important. That we have these things in common. And listen again, I know there'll be different things. Maybe who was preaching, what church they went to, where they were at when God dealt with them and all that. But there is common with God's people that I came to the place that understood that I was a sinner. And I turned by faith and believed upon the Lord Jesus Christ. And I knew peace was made between me and God because I had believed upon the Lord Jesus Christ. I was born again. That is the foundation of our fellowship as God's people. The foundation of it. And today, dear people, if we don't start with that, there is nothing else. I want to turn to one other place before we close. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. And there's a lot of things here in chapter 3 that I just love. I don't preach from it a whole lot, probably a couple times a year. I'd probably love to preach about it near about every month if God would let me. Same way with some things in Timothy, but God knows what's needed better than I do. But I'm going to pick up in verse 5. Verse 5 of 1 Corinthians chapter 3. He says, who then is Paul? I love that statement. I love that statement as a minister because it reminds me, I'm nothing. There's so many times that people think they're something. Oh, this church would be nothing without me. And oh, you know, I'm something and I'm this big thing and I have knowledge and power. Paul didn't look at himself that way. And if Paul didn't, we certainly never do. Who is Paul? Oh, I love how he diminishes himself and puts the focus on who's important. He even asked the question, who is Apollos, another minister, as they had this preacher religion going on in this church. He says, but ministers by whom ye believed, even as the Lord gave to every man. Again, it is not important who was preaching when we trusted the Lord Jesus Christ, is it? It's not important who was our pastor at the time that we trusted the Lord Jesus Christ. That's not important. The important thing is did we hear the truth and did we believe in the truth? He said, I planted. Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. If somebody saved, it's because God saved them. It's because of the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. It is not because of anything of us. All we can do is share the message of God, but it's the power of God's Word and the power of His Spirit that works in people. I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase. Now he that planteth and he that watereth are one. We're fellow laborers in the work of God. And every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. God certainly rewards labor, faithfulness. But again, the labor is not the important thing. God is. For we are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry. Ye are God's building. According to the grace of God, which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereon. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Christ Jesus. What's the foundation? The foundation is Christ. He is the rock. He is the chief cornerstone. If we don't have Christ in common, and I'm not just talking about we call out the name of Christ. There's many that name the name of Christ, but there's those who actually believe in Him. If we don't have that fellowship in Christ, what else is there to build upon? Everything else is sinking sand, isn't it? The beginning of fellowship of brothers and sisters in Christ is that we have a common Father. We have a common Savior. We have believed upon the Lord Jesus Christ, that common salvation. We have that in common. If we don't have that in common, all the other stuff doesn't matter, does it? Now, it matters when you have that in common. It matters what we build upon. He even said, you need to be careful what you build upon that foundation of Christ. You do. That's important, but if that foundation's wrong, the rest of it don't matter. Add to your faith virtue and to virtue knowledge. Well, the faith isn't solid. The rest of it doesn't matter, does it? Just like the foundation of a house, you can have the best wood going up. You can get metal frames going up on a house, can't you? You can put brick on the outside of a house. You can make it as strong as you want it, but if the foundation's messed up, everything that's built upon it doesn't matter, does it? And so we want to look today and say this, the building block. Our common faith is our fellowship with God the Father through the Lord Jesus Christ. That is what builds our fellowship. And if we don't start with that, if that's not the foundation of the church, all these other things will not matter. All the other things of fellowship that we can mention will not matter if we don't begin with that common faith in Christ. And today we pray that everyone that's here has that common faith. And if you don't, I pray that you trust in it. We have a common faith that Christ died for our sins, and that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. This is the common faith that we build everything else upon. And I pray that that's where we're starting from as we look at the doctrine of fellowship. This is the burden that God has given us. If you'd have anything upon your heart, we'd invite you to come. I'll have a verse of a song. Number 250.